It's interesting how many different versions there are of any given religion. For example, Sunni and Shia are both considered Islam, yet are often antagonistic towards each other, with the Sufi sects also considered Muslim, but with their own unique traditional rituals and beliefs not acknowledged in mainstream Islam. There are different Jewish traditions, where some Jews adhere to literal written interpretations of the Torah or Old Testament, and other Jews focus on oral traditions, which some call Kabbalah or esoteric Judaism. And likewise, Christianity also has many offshoots, where there's the Roman Catholic Church, headed by the Pope, and then there are Protestant groups, which do not recognize the Pope, and then there are Gnostic sects, which is a form of esoteric Christianity that's considered heretical by most of the other groups. Apocrypha is a plural word that originally denoted hidden or secret teachings to be read only by initiates into a given Christian group. It comes from Greek and is formed from the combination of words apo, which means away, and kritein, which means to hide or conceal. Concerning these ancient books, the word apocrypha originally meant a text too sacred and secret to be in everyone's hands. The term was first applied to writings which were kept secret because they were the vehicles of esoteric knowledge considered too profound or too sacred to be disclosed to anyone other than the initiated. Later, the church applied it to writings that in some way were seen as threatening, and it came to mean false, bad, or heretical, usually punishable by torture and death, such as being burned alive. Some of these apocryphal biblical texts were only discovered recently, like the Gospel of Thomas, which was found in 1945 near Nag Hammadi, Egypt, which was only translated and made public for the first time within the last few decades. That means that much of these ancient writings, which deal directly with Jesus, even quoting him, were not known at the time the King James Bible was being compiled and edited, even though some of the manuscripts, like the Gospel of Thomas, were dated all the way back to the 2nd century. The texts in the Bible, as we know it today, were first canonized by the church at the end of the 4th century, but before then, hundreds of other religious texts circulated across the Christian world that were once held to be true by Christian followers, even after the canonization of the Bible. More than 300 Christian apocryphal texts that weren't included in the final version of the Bible are known to exist today. Some of these texts tell of demons and dark wizards that can perform diabolical magic. There was a tendency to identify the remnants of polytheism with magi, or wizards, or magicians, who posed dangers to the Christian community. One story tells of Peter, who encounters angelic beings revealed to be demons. Their true forms were uncovered after Peter had drawn a circle around them and performed some sort of anti-demon chant. After the demons were revealed, they banter with Peter about mistreatment of the Lord against their kind compared to sinful humans. Some of the more famous banned or forbidden texts associated with the Bible include the Book of Enoch, who is the great-grandfather of Noah, which contains unique material on the origins of demons, giants, and fallen angels who come upon the earth and mated with human women, who then gave birth to hybrid offspring. The relationship between Enoch and the Essenes is documented even before the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I already covered the Essenes in a prior video, which I'll leave a link to in the description. And while classical rabbinical literature is characterized by a near silence concerning Enoch, the Book of Enoch plays an important role in the history of Jewish mysticism. three other demonic mothers are mentioned in Jewish magical and Kabbalistic texts, besides Lilith, which I already covered in the prior video, which I'll link to in the description. The other three are Nama, Igrat, and Makalat. Only one of these, however, is dubbed the mother of all demons, and described as the mother of Ashmedai, the prince of demons. This would be the figure named Nama, which happens to be a fairly common name among women in modern Israel. While much has been written about Lilith, and myths concerning her have become quite famous, especially during and after medieval times, little has been written about Nama outside of the Zohar, a foundational work of Jewish mysticism. The name first appears in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis of the Bible as a descendant of a dynasty that originated with Cain, who murdered his brother, and continued with Enoch, who is sometimes associated with the angel Metatron. According to the Midrash, which is an ancient commentary on Hebrew scriptures starting from the 2nd century, which is somewhat similar to the Talmud, Nama was the wife of Noah and sister of Tubal-Cain, known for being the first blacksmith. Another interpretation has her as the wife of one of his sons. In any event, Nama was allegedly so beautiful that she was responsible for the incident mentioned in Genesis 6, where, quote, "the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose." In other words, the ancient Midrash claims that she was one of the daughters of humans that caused the angels to descend to earth and to fornicate with them. The name also is mentioned as one of the 700 wives of King Solomon, but in an esoteric context, Nama is said to have engaged, like Lilith, in intercourse with Adam, and in occult circles is associated with demonic sex ritual. Her demonic character appears more clearly in the Zohar Hadash, where it is written, quote, "Yitzhak said, 'Why is it written, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Nama?' Well, Rabbi Yitzhak said, 'She was a righteous woman and pleasing Nama in her deeds.' Rabbi Abahu said, 'The simple sense of scripture indicates that she was learned in metalworking, like her brother Tubal-Cain, as implied by what is written. He was a progenitor of every implement of bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain, Nama. He invented this craft and his sister with him, as is written. And the sister of Tubal-Cain, Nama, she was skilled like him.' The 'and' of 'and the sister' joins the preceding statement. Rabbi Bo said, 'She was the mother of demons, she bore them. For look, the mother of Ashmedai, king of demons, is named Nama.'" Many people have a problem understanding how it could be that Noah, a man who the Bible describes as being a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, would marry a woman who became the mother of demons. In another version, she is said to be the only woman in the generation of the flood who maintained her purity. So on one hand, she is seen as a righteous woman, and on the other hand, a beautiful temptress. I'll get back to this seeming contradiction a little later. Rabbi Baihai Ben Asher wrote the following about the four demon mothers, among them Nama, in his commentary on the Torah. Quote, "We have a tradition that four women became the mothers of demons. They were Lilith, Nama, Igrat, and Makalat. Each one of them disposes of whole camps of followers, and spiritually negative aura emanates from them all. It is said that each one of them is dominant during one of the four seasons of the year, and that they gather at the mountain Nishba. This mountain is located near mountains called Hoshek, which means darkness, and each one holds sway during one of the four seasons of the year, from sundown until midnight, they and all the members of their respective camps. Now this description mirrors stories from European folklore about witches who would gather for communal celebrations at certain times of the year, including Samhain or Halloween, which I recently covered in a video last week, which is one of the 8 pagan holidays celebrated during the year, but the 4 representing the seasonal shifts would be Yule for the winter solstice, Ostara for the spring equinox, Litha for the summer solstice, and Mabon for the autumn equinox. The sages divided the years into 4 periods, beginning in the months of Tishrei, Tivet, Nisan, and Tammuz. In ancient pre-Christian cultures, whether you call them Phoenician, Babylonian, Egyptian, Aryan, or pagan, these specific times of the season, which correlated to certain positioning of the gods or celestial bodies in the heavens, were a time of what anthropologists call fertility rites, which academia claims are religious rituals that are intended to stimulate reproduction. But in mystery schools and secret societies, the rituals are not about reproduction, but the harnessing of sex energy in alignment with the natural world, which oftentimes coincides with animal sacrifice of some kind, with the goal of achieving some sort of magical purpose. Like Lilith, Nama's main task as a demon was to seduce men in their dreams, trying to get them to release a nocturnal emission. It is this seduction that gives her her dual identity, as in the context of occult ritual, the beauty and charm of a woman can be the key to arousing and alchemically transmuting creative energy, but if self-discipline is not practiced, she can also be the cause of a loss of life force, or what the French refer to as la petite mort, which translates to the little death, and in esoteric terms is equated with the brief loss or weakening of consciousness, or as in my past videos I call spilling the cup of Hermes. So this is how a woman can be seen as either spiritually empowering, infusing a man with prana, chi, vril, or life force energy, and at the same time have the potential to make a man weak and lose his power, the way Delilah did to Samson by symbolically cutting his hair, which traditionally was grown as a vow of chastity, which did not mean refraining from women, but refraining from the traditional climax, and instead transmuting the energy instead of expelling it. Of course, these female demons, or succubus, are also allegedly said to devour children, which I contend is not to be taken as literal, as in the world of magic, spelled with a K, a child is not a biological baby, but represents a potential manifestation which can no longer be brought into physical reality because of a misuse of the creative life force, or a premature climax. The misunderstanding of this occult significance has led to the historic demonization of women, where religious superstition has replaced esoteric wisdom and the symbolic meaning behind many stories has been lost. While there are still secret and not so secret organizations that celebrate the ancient rituals the same way, that understand the esoteric symbolism behind biblical characters such as the serpent in the Garden of Eden, which in many works of art created by members of occult mystery schools is depicted as a woman tempting Adam and Eve to partake of the forbidden fruit, these occult organizations continue to perform these rituals covertly for various reasons, which some claim was to prevent a loss of the sacred knowledge, but unfortunately seems to have been abused by those who now wish to enslave mankind rather than spiritually liberate him. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those who are interested. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Please have a wonderful week, and I hope to see you again soon.